consecrate my office, my energies, and all the wisdom I can summon to the cause of peace among nations.
Now those who seek absolute power, even though they seek it to do what they regard as good, are simply demanding the right to enforce their own version of heaven on earth.
I want to thank Secretary Powell for his careful and powerful presentation of the facts.
A pack of lies. A pack of lies.
The United States government has, one way or another, ordered, authorized, permitted, tolerated, torture.
We're making tremendous progress, but there is much more to do to win the war on terrorism and defeat terrorism.
I have a dream. I have a dream.
The fact is, we do need better international governance to help spread the benefits of globalization, 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 globalization.
American world domination or paramountcy. Historically, the U.S. sought security, not domination.
Nothing's perfect in life, so you have an election that's not quite perfect.
Now was the time to come forward and say who specifically was on that energy task force and lift any kind of shadow that's still there.
Yeah, we've been through this issue a number of times.
We need to make sure that the political, the economic, and the security infrastructure of that state is shaped and helped to come into being.
Weapons of mass, weapons of mass destruction.
We do not torture.
In exclusive interviews with ABC News, Iraqi businessmen Dahi Sabar and Shirzad Khalid claim U.S. forces did torture them for months in camps all over Iraq, including Abu Ghraib. They claim they were arrested for no reason during a business meeting in July 2003, though neither one had any ties to anti-American forces.
Soldiers on our right and our left were beating us all over our bodies. For me, I wished death to die many times during torture. I wished to die.
With six other former detainees, the ACLU and the group Human Rights First, they are suing Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, claiming their rights under the U.S. Constitution and international law were violated.
Why should Americans who hear your story believe you?
Because that's the truth. And when American courts will hear my case, I believe, and I'm sure that the American justice will believe that.
How you doing, Wolf? The president, during a joint appearance in Panama today, defended the way the U.S. interrogates its detainees and insisted, quote, we do not torture, unquote. Mr. Bush said that with the country at war, the government has to protect the American people. The Senate recently passed legislation banning torture, but the administration, more specifically Vice President Dick Cheney, wants an exemption to that for the CIA. Then we could say most of us don't torture if Cheney gets his way. Meanwhile, the White House has not confirmed reports about the CIA operating those secret prisons abroad. And, of course, we don't have to go too far back in our memories to call up those photographs of those naked prisoners at Abu Ghraib stacked like cordwood outside their cells while they were being taunted by American military personnel. The question is this: do you believe the president when he says the U.S. does not torture?
Well, there's been a lot of discussion, obviously, lately about whether or not we have seen any torturing of prisoners out there, and we have repeatedly said that we do not torture prisoners. And, you know, there's an implication here that that may be the case with respect to these supposed prisons, and I emphasize supposed. So I think it's a good idea for the leaders to request that, and as a member of the Intelligence Committee, I look forward to letting that process work, and let's see really what the facts are relative to those supposed prisons out there.
Ed Henry reports.
The depth of leaks that we have seen in the intelligence community over the last 12 to 18 months have done irreparable harm to our ability to effectively conduct the war on terror.
The move caps 3 days of fits and starts from Republican leaders. On Tuesday afternoon, Speaker Dennis Hastert and Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist circulated a letter calling on the House and Senate intelligence panels to launch a joint investigation. because the leak may have caused major damage to national security. But Frist waited a few hours before signing the letter, in part because of comments by Republican Senator Trent Lott. Lott said Republicans might be embarrassed because the leak may have come from a closed-door meeting Vice President Cheney had with Republicans.
It's going to get worse. The voters respond by not turning out with tremendous intensity. Politics has become a form of entertainment, and what's more entertaining than good negative commercials? Now, not that I think it's a good thing. It's bad for democracy long-term, but it's how we communicate.
But great entertainment.
Great entertainment.
Is that what we're left with right now in this country?
We've learned that Iraq has trained al-Qaeda members in bomb-making, poisons, and deadly gases.
Al-Qaeda continues to have a deep interest in acquiring weapons of mass destruction. As with the story of Zakawi and his network, I can trace the story of a senior terrorist operative telling how Iraq provided training in these weapons to Al-Qaeda.
Senator Levin, thanks very much for joining us. So what is your suspicion? Why did Secretary of State Powell, President Bush, make these statements alleging this connection between Al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein based on this one source, Ibn al-Sheikh al-Libi, if the DIA had already circulated this memo suggesting it was probably a fabrication?
Well, only they can answer that question, and they ought to answer the question and a lot of other questions about the statements that they made prior to the war about intelligence, which was just simply not there. And this is an example, one of the prime examples that I've ever seen, and I've seen a lot of them, about where administration spokespeople were making statements prior to the war which were not based on the intelligence that they had in front of them. I mean, here's a situation, Wolf, where you've got the Defense Intelligence Agency saying that the statements that this man was making were misleading and intentionally misleading of us, and yet those statements still were used by one administration spokesman after another to make the claim that there was training going on between Iraq and Al-Qaeda.
I think I take full responsibility for this special election, and it's always easy after the fact, you know, to be smart in hindsight, and that's the easy thing to do, to look back and say I should have done this and that. But, you know, I think that to me, we have the opportunity to have, this kind of democracy and to have the initiative process. So I wanted to use that. It was kind of like going to the Supreme Court. It didn't work in the lower courts. So I went to the Supreme Court, kind of, and of course they sent me right back down again where I started. So I think that's where it was. You can't go any higher than the people. So the people sent the message, and the people are my partners. I've always relied on the people and always listened very carefully to the people. If I would do another Terminator movie, I would have Terminator travel back in time to tell Arnold not to have a special election.
Well, the best way that you honor the bravery and the courage of American servicemen and women is to tell them the truth. Tell them the truth about Iraq and have a real policy. A real policy, not one that's being made up every single day. A real policy that is going to ensure the beginning of the return of those brave men and women back to the United States of America. That is the best way to honor those veterans, not campaign sloganing and not campaign talk.
Well, you know, in Ted Kennedy's case, for 40 years, he's advocated higher taxes for Americans. His latest cause is the inheritance tax, which he says is socially just and fair at 49%. Now, we can have a debate about that, but Ted Kennedy, if he favors it, should actually pay it. And the reality is, based on the Kennedy's own numbers, is that they've transferred between $300 million and $500 million in the last generation, and they paid a grand total of $134,000 taxes on that.
Corrupt to become morally debased. So who is the most corrupt in America? Is it Congressman Tom DeLay, Senator Bill Frist, former Bush official Scooter Libby, or Walmart CEO Lee Scott? Over 600,000 Walmart workers have no company health care. Walmart repeatedly violated child labor laws, and over 1.5 million women are suing Walmart for discrimination. So, who is the most corrupt? Lee Scott and Walmart.
Well, that's right. I mean, Nancy Pelosi Yeah, Nancy Pelosi professes to be very pro-union. She won the Cesar Chavez Award for the United Farm Workers Union, and yet she uses non-union labor on her vineyard in Napa Valley. She's received large contributions from the Hotel Employees and Restaurant Employees Union, and yet she and her husband are part owners of a hotel and a chain of restaurants that are also strictly non-union. In fact, they use immigrant labor in a lot of cases, which seems to contradict her position on that issue. Well, you know, Michael Moore, I mean, he's said half a dozen times that he doesn't own a single share of stock, that he thinks Wall Street is dirty money. And he's right. He doesn't own a single share of stock. He owns tens of thousands of shares of stock in some very interesting companies. He owned pharmaceutical companies, defense contractors, offshore oil drilling operations. In fact, I even found that a few years ago, he was a shareholder in, of all things, Halliburton.
One of the American historians I most admire, Mr. Brinkley, out here, sitting here, was quoted in the paper today as saying that I would be viewed as a great president except for the fact of impeachment. It was just there. So one of the things all of you have to do, for example, is decide how you're going to deal with that. Now, I told Doug before I came up here I was going to say this, so I'm not catching him unaware. I completely disagree with that. I think you can say you think I was not a great president, never mind impeachment. Or you can agree with this statement, but only if you think the impeachment was justified. Otherwise, it was an egregious abuse of the Constitution and law and history of this country, and I should get credit for standing up to it. Because the statement that I or anybody else, Andrew Johnson's impeachment was not justified. But the statement that any president should be judged based on a fact, whether or not that represents good or bad policy, good or bad action, I believe is flat wrong. That was the gamble Gingrich took. I'll never forget the conversation he had with my chief of staff, Erskine Bolden. Erskine said, Newt, aren't you being a hypocrite on this? He said, sure, what's that got to do with it?
A letter obtained by CNN from the Senate Indian Affairs Committee shows Abramov making overtures to the president of Gabon, Omar Bongo. On July 28, 2003, Abramov writes to Mr. Bongo, quote, I have been cautiously working to obtain a visit for the president to Washington to see President Bush, the Congress, and policy and opinion makers in the United States.
We have Mr. Abramov asking for some millions of dollars from a president of a foreign country to say, like to set up a meeting with the president as part of this arrangement.
I'd like to say to the good citizens of Dover, if there is a disaster in your area, don't turn to God. You just rejected him from your city. And don't wonder why he hasn't helped you when problems begin, if they begin.
Many Dover residents took offense.
I'd say that's a little way over the top. Is he God now?
God's not interested in a vote. He's interested in a relationship.
But some took Reverend Robertson's words as gospel.
He had a reason for saying that probably, and I think that intelligence design is still here to stay.
Hey, you know, if you want to ban military recruiting, fine, but I'm not going to give you another nickel of federal money. You know, if I'm the President of the United States, I walk right in to Union Square, I set up my little presidential podium, and I say, listen, citizens of San Francisco, if you vote against military recruiting, you're not going to get another nickel in federal funds. Fine. You want to be your own country? Go right ahead. And if Al-Qaeda comes in here and blows you up, we're not going to do anything about it. We're going to say, look, every other place in America is off limits to you except San Francisco. You want to blow up the Coit Tower? Go ahead.
Welcome to the Armstrong and Getty Show. Bill O'Reilly once again. Bill, how are you?
No, I'm fine. How are you guys doing?
Good. Hey, first question. Do you stand by what you said?
Of course I do. It's ridiculous. You know, World War III and San Francisco votes against military recruiting in schools? It's insane.
Patriotism, Dr. Samuel Johnson famously wrote, is the last refuge of a scoundrel. If that's true, Bill O'Reilly has reached his last refuge. The San Francisco Board of Supervisors is looking at a resolution calling for O'Reilly to be taken off the air by his TV masters, Fox News, and his radio syndicators, Westwood One. Our third story on the countdown, the man who has been to all but about 1% of the population an obnoxious and perverted but fundamentally buffoonish character, is in the deep woods now He has not only amplified on his call to have Al-Qaeda attack San Francisco, he's also defended it, while at the same time doctoring the transcript of it, while at the same time claiming that all those who criticize him are against America.
They appear to be casing significant targets in Sydney, so this would be the second time. And it comes in the context of the Australians just in the last few days introducing much harsher penalties for things like glorification of terrorism, the kinds of things that we've seen a lot in England of clerics sort of talking up jihad and stuff. The Australians moving to crack down on that.
Andrew Stimpson had one negative and two equivocal results before finally testing positive for HIV in August 2002. 3 years on, he's received news from the health service which confirms the virus is no longer in his body.
They came to the conclusion that I was definitely HIV positive and I am definitely HIV negative.
DNA checks proved there was no mix-up in Stimpson's tests, but the hospital can't say for sure that any other error wasn't made in the original test.
Some Democrats and anti-war critics are now claiming we manipulated the intelligence and misled the American people about why we went to war.
There's been some talk.
Well, it's perfectly legitimate to criticize my decision or the conduct of the war. It is deeply irresponsible to rewrite the history of how that war began.
And that's when the president began to rewrite history.
A bipartisan Senate investigation found no evidence of political pressure to change the intelligence community's judgments related to Iraq's weapons programs.
I swear to you, it was strictly incompetence. We're not evil. We're Urkel. Then the president got specific.
Many of these critics supported my opponent during the last election, who explained his position to support the resolution in the Congress this way: when I vote to give the President of the United States the authority to use force, if necessary, to disarm Saddam Hussein, it is because I believe...
God! Kerry's boring even when Bush is reading him. Wow! All right, Georgie, close big!
It is courage that liberated more than 50 million people from tyranny. It is courage that keeps an untiring vigil against the enemies of rising democracies. And it is courage in the cause of freedom that will once again destroy the enemies of freedom.
Where have I heard that speech before?
What makes a king out of a slave?
Operation Flying Monkey has begun!